Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see you all in the house of the Lord this morning. Is he still your king? Amen. He's the Lord of Lords too, isn't he? Well, are you still celebrating the holidays with joy? Good. Joy unspeakable. You're not letting anything steal your joy? The enemy's trying to steal it, right? But we're moving on. We're not going to be stopped. You have to do that. You have to move on and don't be stopped, no matter what the enemy's trying to do. Because believe me, he's really on the warpath right now. God said, have joy. And so he's saying, all right, I'll fix you. I'll do everything I can to make you lose your joy. Amen. But we are children of God, right? Doesn't matter what the enemy throws at us, we still have our joy, right? Remember that next time he throws something at you. That's why I had to sing that song, I am a child of God. I think we have to constantly remind ourselves that we are children of God and tell the enemy where he can go. He has no right to interfere with our lives, none whatsoever. You know, God is so good to us. And all the enemy does is steal, kill, and destroy. We want to make sure that we honor him in everything we do, wherever we go. Amen. I love you guys. I've watched you go through hell and back so many times, and you're still standing on your feet, still praising the Father, still learning that there's so much more of him that we don't know, and trying to be the vessels of honor that God can work through. I say trying because I think we'll be trying to do that until the day Jesus takes us home. Because every day there's a new battle. Every day there's a new victory. And every day we learn something new, right? We think we have attained, and then here we go. We find out we don't know this. God is constantly teaching us, forevermore teaching us. So don't ever forget that. Father, I just thank you this morning. I praise you and I give you honor and I give you glory. Father, this is a glorious time of the year. Just because we're just together, alive, breathing. We have roof over our head, food on our table, Father God. And we have family, we have friends. We're not destitute because we have you. And Father God, I thank you that for the works you already begun in this church this morning. I thank you, Father God, for the works that you're doing even as the service goes forth. I thank you for your angelic host that's here this morning, Father God, ministering to the needs of your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning I want to talk about raising your shield of faith for war. If you don't know it by now, the enemy is still fighting us, even though we have the victory. You know, it's just, I always relate it to boxers, you know, because I hate boxing. You know, even though the guy knows he's defeated, he keeps going out there and he just keeps getting battered and battered. I'm thinking, why don't you just lay down and pretend like you're dead or something? But see, this is what the enemy is like. He knows he's defeated, but he's going to keep coming back and keep coming back. And you're going to have to show him that you're the boss and that he's not. All right? We need to understand that God of the now demands that he be Lord in our lives. We need to understand that God of the now, the God right now, God demands that he be Lord in our lives. God of the new demands that his presence birth every purpose and plan in our lives. The God of the new. God is doing a brand new thing in this dispensation. Guys, we can't go back to the old. We can't pull on the old because the old is no longer there. God is doing a brand new thing in the body of Christ in the world. If you look at what's going on in the world, there's things going on in the world we never heard of before. But God is in control of all things. And God is on our side. And we have to understand that he's on our side. How many of you sit sometimes and think, God, what are you really doing? You know, do you ever do that? You know, you read the word and you believe the word and you understand the word. But yet things, circumstances around about you are so contrary to what you're reading. You're like God said, ask and you shall receive. And we ask and we ask and we ask and we don't receive at the time we think we should. And so that makes you wonder, God, what are you really saying to us when you say ask and you shall receive? He's saying exactly what he says. But, you know, we question things like that, do we not? God of the next demands radical and obedient abandonment to him. So we have the God of the now, the new, and the God of the next. See, and this is what he demands, radical and obedient abandonment to him. So what I'm saying here is, no matter what we don't understand, we just abandon ourselves to him and say, God, you're Lord. You know everything about me. You formed me in my mother's womb. The plan for my life was already mapped out before I was ever born. And we just have to let him do. All right, I don't want to get into my evening's message. Evening message is good. All right, question. Are you really ready for the next? Are you really ready for the next thing that God is doing? Jonah 4, 6, and 7 says, and the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. See that? He made the plant, but then he destroyed the plant. Just the day before, God had prepared that same plant for Jonah to give him shade and deliver him from his misery. See that? Now he took it away. I want you to relate this to yourselves, guys, because you're going to find out that God is doing a new thing within each one of our lives. Are you discovering that God's next for you may be an unexpected surprise? Are you listening? Are you discovering that God's next for you may be an unexpected surprise? Excuse me. Is God of the next making you uncomfortable? He is me. And uneasy in your spiritual walk, relationships, or ministry? Because I'm not quite sure what God's trying to do here. You know, and so I've abandoned myself to him. Say, all right, God, you're in control. I'm not going to try to figure this out. I'm just going to go with the flow. All right. So I said, is God of the next making you uncomfortable and uneasy in your spiritual walk, relationships, or ministry? Question. What if the next thing that God does or asks of you in your life is exactly the opposite of the last thing he said to you or did in you? Let's say that again. What if the next thing that God does or asks of you in your life is exactly the opposite of the last thing he said to you or did in you? What would you do? Would you obey or object? Now, I want to stop there. I've been reading a lot lately, and all the prophets or all the writers, whoever they are all saying that God is going to take us down a different road than what we thought he was going to take us. And he's going to be asking us to do things that we thought he would never ask us to do. And in my own personal life, that has come true. Now, I don't want you to get all upset when all of a sudden God has asked you to do just the opposite of what he asked you to do before. Because God is now changing and shifting gears. And he has to have us in a different place than what we were before. Remember that. Now, when things start looking just the opposite of what they were, or it looks like it's contrary to what God spoke to you in your prophetic words, it really isn't, because now God is doing a new thing. All right, remember Abraham. God said to Abraham and Sarah, have a baby. When they finally obeyed, moving from birthing Ishmael, doing it their way, to birthing Isaac, doing it God's way. See, we have to do it God's way and not our way. They must have sighed with relief. But next, God commands Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And just as he is about to sacrifice his son, Abraham hears the next command, don't kill him. Are you listening to this? Is God impulsive? Can it be that he has a hard time making up his mind? Certainly not. There is no shadow of changing in God. But God is changing us from the now moment in which he demands to be Lord to the new thing which he is birthing in and through us. God cannot birth in us if we stay the same as we used to be. We have to be changed. He has to rearrange some things in our life so he can birth that baby. I was joking with my husband the other night. I said, I'm in withdrawals. He said, why? I said, there's no watermelon in the refrigerator, and I'm pregnant because I'm craving watermelon. When I was pregnant, I craved watermelon, so all of a sudden, all I want to do is eat watermelon, so I think I'm birthing something new. You know what I'm saying? Come on. All right, so, but God is changing us from the now moment in which he demands to be Lord to the new thing which he is birthing in and through us, and finally into the next thing. The next thing, which requires complete obedience and surrender. This next thing, this next move that God is doing within us requires complete obedience and surrender to God. Some of you in here have not yet gotten there. You're not in complete obedience or complete surrender, so you're going to find that you're going to have a few difficult moments until you finally say, all right, God, I surrender. I give it all to you. Even if you don't understand the next, which I don't, amen, or if you feel that it is opposite of the last thing God did, make a proactive decision right now to surrender. God of the now demands that he be Lord. He's allowed us to be foolish long enough, is what he told me last night. He said, now I demand obedience from my people. God of the new demands that his presence birth every purpose and plan in our lives. The God of the new demands that his presence birth every purpose and plan in our lives. Saints, right now is when God wants to bring forth his perfect plan for our life, right now. Not tomorrow, not 10 days from now, but right now, his perfect plan for our life he wants to bring forth. Are you willing to surrender all that you are to him so he can go ahead and birth you into the thing that he's trying to birth you into? This is a very important and strategic time in your walk with God right now. You might miss him, so make sure you don't miss him. All right, so I said the God of the new demands that his presence birth every purpose and plan in our lives. God of the next demands radical and obedient abandonment to him. Question, are you really ready for the next? In order to live empowered by God of the next, you must be willing to lay aside expectations, what you're expecting God to do, break the addiction of always wanting something new, and enter into a life of surrender and abandonment. You know, you were always wanting God to do a new thing, and he might be wanting to stay right where you're, he wants you to stay right where you're at, but at the present time. You're not ready for the new that he wants to birth into you next. All right? God's next day for you is his best for you. So embrace his next. God, what are you going to do for me tomorrow? What are you going to do through me tomorrow? You know, God has been telling me that his body has gotten stagnant and they are content in the little ditch that they're in. And he's trying to nudge them out of that ditch. And he's trying to get them to come forth with might and with power so he can work through them. Now remember, you guys sitting here this morning, you're the ones that God is going to use in this next move that he's bringing forth. You are the future leaders. You know, the old leaders are dying off, and you guys are the future leaders. And so God is trying to empower you with his anointing from on high, so when you go out there, you'll be able to do the great and mighty works that God is calling you forth to do. This generation that we're in right now, they need signs, wonders, and miracles. They are so steeped in sin and darkness that they need the light. And they need signs, wonders. They need something to hold on to. You know, signs, wonders, and miracles is not for the body of Christ. You know that, don't you? Signs, wonders, and miracles are for the unsaved, to sort of get their attention and draw them in to the body of Christ. The problem is the church is still sitting here. You know, I'm talking about all churches are still sitting in the house of God wanting signs, wonders, and miracles for themselves, instead of for the world, the way God wants it to be. If ever in history we need to use the weapons of our warfare, now is the time. Ephesians, you can read Ephesians 6:1-13. It talks about your weapons of warfare. One incredible weapon that we have and must understand is a shield of faith. Ephesians 6:16 says, now is the time to use a shield of faith, the vital weapon from your armor. God told me a couple years ago, daughter, from this moment forth, your whole entire walk until I take you home is going to be by faith. And he said, start building up your faith right now. So I started building up my faith. And I can see where I have to walk by faith and not by sight. I can see where the enemy comes in at every turn trying to make me believe that I'm not in God's will. And I have to walk by faith, not hearing God's voice, just walk by faith, knowing that God has told me certain things and he's going to bring those certain things to pass. He told me the enemy was going to fight me, and the enemy's fighting me. But he also told me I'm going to be with you in every battle that you go through. So by faith, I go through the battles. By faith, I keep walking. How are you walking? By faith. Some of you are constantly on my mind, and God has me constantly praying for you because the enemy's really fighting you, and he's trying to make you believe that you're not in God's will. And he's trying to take you out of God's will. You're going to have to live by faith and not by sight. You're going to have to hold on with everything you have. Because when this thing breaks, guys, you're not going to have a chance to regroup. And God's trying to get us ready right now for the big breakthrough that he's bringing through the whole body of Christ. What is the shield of faith? The shield is illustrative of God's protection, truth, and salvation. In other words, we have to know that we know that we know that God is with us. However, the shield becomes active based on our faith response. We have to respond through faith. Let's explore how the shield interacts with the other pieces of our spiritual armor. When we make the choice to be single-minded, which is yielded to God, and a true worshiper of him, he becomes our shield of faith. In the Bible, we see many verses declaring the Lord as our shield. Genesis 15:1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Now, how many of you are going through things that you never thought you'd go through? There are circumstances in your life you never thought you'd be part of. God is saying this to you. Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. There's something going on in my life, and God said, I told you, I have this thing covered. Don't be afraid. Just keep moving on. So I'm walking by faith, and I'm just moving on. All right? Deuteronomy 33:29. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. Saints of God, this is what you need to live by. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. The enemy cannot take you out. You have to get that in your spirit. He cannot. If God has called you to a certain plan and a purpose, the enemy cannot destroy that plan and that purpose. You have to understand it, and you have to walk by faith knowing that no matter what's being thrown at you, God is going to take you to that place he promised you. All right? 2 Samuel 22:3-36. The God of my strength, in whom I will trust. Do you trust God? My shield and the horn of my salvation, my strong and my refuge, my Savior. You saved me from violence. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your gentleness has made me great. So it says, the God of my strength in whom I will trust. That's one thing that God's been dealing with us about, is trusting him. We have to trust God and know that he is in total and complete control. We have to go back and see what he told us he's going to do, and then we have to hold on to that no matter what is going on around about us. Now, if he's going to change that, he'll speak to you and tell you it's changed now, and this is the way we're going to go. But if he doesn't say that to you, then you hang on to the very first word that you received. Okay? Because Satan's job is to steal that word from you. Don't allow him to steal your word. Psalm 5:12 says, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Do you understand that you as a child of God, in this dispensation, you're going to find favor wherever you go. If God has called you to do something, everywhere you go, you're going to find favor. The enemy's not going to be able to block that. You will find favor and you'll be able to accomplish the things that God has called you to accomplish. I want you to get that in your spirit. God said, this is the hour of great favor for his people. This is a season of taking off and becoming new. Ephesians 4:21 and 24 says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renew your mind is think positive things instead of negative things. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, if you're really abandoned to God, if you've really abandoned everything to him, fully, totally trusting him, even in the worst scenario, you're going to have joy. Because you're going to know that you know that you know that no matter how dark the situation around you is, that God gave you a promise and God is in total and complete control. And you will have joy. Now, if your joy is being stolen from you, then somewhere along the line, you quit trusting in God. You quit trusting in the word he gave you. So you're going to have to get down on your little knees and you're going to have to repent. And then you're going to have to get back up and tell the devil, look, you're not stealing no more my joy. The joy of the Lord is what? Your strength, right? And if he can take our joy, then we don't have any strength. Yesterday, I said the enemy tried to steal my joy at every turn. But I had to keep saying, nope, I'm keeping my joy. Nope, I'm keeping my joy. And I had to keep telling the devil that, and I kept my joy. But if I would have sat around and I'd have got negative, he would have had my joy. So see, we can't give in to that negative thing that the enemy tries to place upon us. We just can't. And the body of Christ does that all the time. They allow the enemy to steal the positive from us, and we walk in the negative. Do you know that the enemy's going to throw lies at you all the time? He's going to say, oh, and your father said, you know, he's going to make the situation around you look bleak and dim. And then he's going to say to you, and your father said, and you believe what he has to say. Look what it looks like around about you. You don't care what it looks like, right? Because God has spoken a certain thing about it. In other words, we are to remove our old lifestyle of disobedience and enter into a lifestyle of obedience from our newly created identity. Our newly created identity, which has occurred by Jesus coming to life in our heart and receiving the Holy Spirit. Our new identity should, I know everybody in here is born again. Our new identity should be, devil, I no longer listen to you and your lies. I'm submitted to the voice of my Father. I believe every word the Father has said to me, and I'm going to follow him and not you. I'm cutting your voice off from my ears right now, and the only voice I'm going to hear is the voice of God. Come on. If you don't do that, the enemy has you. Come on, you guys have come a long way. Don't let him take you back, not even one step. The fight has been hard. We all know that. And it isn't even getting easier. But the struggle should not be there. The fight might be there, but the struggle should not be there. In other words, you're going to fight, but you're not going to struggle because you know that you know that you know that God is in control. So you're not going to struggle anymore wondering, is he? Or where is he? Or what is he doing? All right? We can say, God, I really don't know what you're doing, but that's not struggling. That's just being honest. God, I know you're doing a new thing in my life, but I don't understand this. Would you please give me a little bit more of the puzzle? You know, that's not struggling. That's just asking God, you know, show me just a little bit more. Just so I can understand a little bit more. He doesn't mind that. But what does bother him is whenever you go into disobedience and start believing the devil and don't believe what he has to say. He doesn't mind how much you talk to him. If he wants to give you another piece of puzzle, he will. And if he doesn't, he'll say, be still, right? Be still. So obedience is linked with faith, so we actually put on faith. Paul instructs the people of Ephesus to Number one, receive a spirit of revelation and wisdom. That is one thing the body of Christ is lacking, is wisdom. We need wisdom like we've never needed wisdom before. We need discernment like never before. If you in the newspapers could drive you up a wall, couldn't they? If you believe all the lies they're printing, because they only print lies, they don't print the truth. So we have to know. See, this is where, guys, look, listen to me. This is where you have to hear the voice of the Father. This is where you have to talk to God and have him talk back to you, and you need to hear his truth. And whenever you hear his truth, no matter what the newspapers are saying, you know what the Father has said, and you just thank him that he's going to fulfill the words that he spoke. I read something the other day, and I said, God, I know what you told me about that. I'm not going to think about it one second longer. I'm not even going to read the rest of the article, because I know this is a bunch of lies, and I know you have it under control. And then move on. Don't dwell on it. Move on. This is what the devil's trying. This is what God spoke to me. The devil's trying to get our eyes on the things of the world and our ears in tune to what the world is saying. And we take our eyes off. And he has it so bogged down with that that we can't see what God is doing and hear what God is doing. Are you listening here? All right, let's talk about the unity. Well, I knew where I was at here. I said Paul instructs the people of Ephesus to, number one, receive a spirit of revelation and wisdom. Number two, he tells them to get rooted and grounded in love. If you don't have love, forget it. He encourages them to walk in unity. If you don't have unity, forget it. He explains God's government, which has been released in the earth realm, to equip them and to bring them into a unity of faith. We have to have love. We have to be rooted and grounded in Christ. We have to have unity. Or saints, we're not going to make it. You know, we have to work together. Do you know the harvest is going to be so great that the body of Christ isn't working together? It's going to be utter chaos. We have to be working in total unity. There's no big I and little I. It's all of us working for God, saving the lost in a dying world. You know, you don't want your name up in lights. Put Jesus' name in lights. And we just work together as one body, doing the works that God has called us forth to do. One person, I'm sorry, cannot do the great works that needs to be done. One person hasn't been able to do it yet. And with what's coming, they're not going to be able to do it at all. It takes everybody working in the body of Christ together in total unity to get this work done. You say, well, I've just been sitting here and sitting here. Well, just to keep sitting. Because when God throws you out there, you're going to wish you could be sitting. Because he said when he throws you out there, you're going to be so busy, you won't know what's coming, what ends up or down. So just be content maybe where you're at right now until God, because God said whenever he's ready for you, he's going to shove you out there in an instant. And you won't have time to regroup. And this is what he's been trying to get the body of Christ to do, is to get all the unfinished things done. Get everything together. And so because when he starts using you, you're not going to be able to get it together. And he's not going to use you if you're walking around there in confusion. So let's get all these loose ends tied up. And let's just allow God then the opportunity to be able to send us out there and do the great and mighty works he's calling us forth to do. Let's talk about the unity of faith. Once we put on faith and activate our faith, we unite our faith with other people. Everybody should have somebody you can call and say, you know, I really need you to agree with me in prayer or pray with me. You let your faith work together to get this thing accomplished. This produces a unity of faith. Hell cannot withstand a unity of faith of believers. I wished we'd understand that. See, that's why he always brings this unity into the body. He knows if we stay in unity, he's totally and completely defeated. All right, so don't allow disunity anywhere around about you. Paul then tells the people of Ephesus not to grieve the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit empowers them to maintain their new lifestyle. We're going to need the Holy Spirit like never before, guys. Please don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Please allow the Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do in your life. How many of you in here sometimes, well, if you like me, you say, Holy Spirit, I need you more now than I did yesterday. I really need you to show up. I really need you to do the works that God needs to get done through me. Because we all know that we can't do it ourselves, right? We all know we need the power of the Holy Spirit to work through us, right? then let's let him know that we love him and we need him and we can't do this by ourselves. Well, I said, Paul then tells the people of Ephesus not to grieve the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit empowers them to maintain their new lifestyle. He also tells them to walk in love and wisdom. Love, wisdom, unity. Love, wisdom, unity. Love, wisdom, unity. How many of you that you know without a shadow of a doubt that the enemy's trying to separate you from your loved ones? He's trying to stick a little something in there, right and left. See, there's that love and that unity. He's trying to get rid of it. Once Paul explained the proper authority relationships, he exhorts them to get clothed so they can withstand the enemy, the devil, who will try to rob them of their destiny. That's not rob, it should be rob. Rob them of their destiny. That is what Satan's doing right now. He is trying to rob the body of Christ of their destiny. He has pastors and pulpits who will not lead their people forth. There's pastors and churches who just make their people sit and don't ever encourage them to move on out and do the things that they're supposed to be doing. I don't know, if you ever become a pastor, or if you are a pastor, don't try to tie your people in their seats. That's not what they're there for. They are there to be trained, equipped, and sent out. Trained, equipped, and sent out. With your blessing. With your blessing. You hear that? God sets you wherever he sets you so you can be trained to do the great and mighty works he's calling you forth to do. This is a day and the hour when the enemy is really trying to make people believe that they don't belong, that they're out of place. You might feel like you don't belong and you might feel out of place. It could be that God is putting a few tacks under your seat because he wants to get you moving in the direction he wants you to go in. So you need to pray and you need to find out why you feel out of place. Why you don't fit in anymore. It just could be that God is moving you. All right? Could be out of a church. Could be out of state. It could be out of your home. It could be anywhere. But God, you need to pray about everything that's going on in your life. You need to get the truth of what's going on in your life. Not just what you assume is going on. All right? Sometimes it is a battle to stay strong in our faith. Amen. We can all say amen to that. Satan's repeated attacks using our own feelings of fear and doubt, number one, can wear down our belief in the Lord's power and goodness. Number two, can give false visions of God's failure to keep his promises. God always keeps his promises. In fact, I think that's what the word of the day is. He promises and covenants he never breaks. If he gives you a promise, he's going to fulfill that promise. Number three, false news reports and feelings of self-pity are all venues Satan uses to undermine the most important part of our lives here on earth, which is faith. I believe a lot of people just need to quit reading the newspaper or even watching this dumb stuff on TV because it'll boggle your mind. It's not even worth watching. It's not worth wasting your time. We could be spending so much more time doing the things of the Father. You know, let's just say, who cares, really, in the government, who's fighting who? You know, who cares about that? They're acting like a bunch of little kids. You know, God, if God is in control, then God can make that thing work out, right? And it isn't for us to sit there and talk about how childish they are being. It's up to us to say, thank you, Father, that you see what's going on and that you're in control of this thing. Amen. I didn't say don't pray. I didn't say that. I didn't say don't quit trying to get prayer back in school. I didn't say that. I'm saying this foolishness that they put on the papers and on TV all the time. Why do we even bother listening to it or watching it? It means nothing to us. If we would be taking that time and spending it with the Father, asking his advice, seeking his voice, his face, we would grow, and we would grow in wisdom. And we would understand what's going on around about us. All right, by restoring your shield of faith, you will learn to be an overcomer, fighting and winning the daily battles against Satan's objective to take you out. Satan wants to take you out now more than he ever has. He knows that if you stay firm in God, you're going to tear down his kingdom. Just us in here, we could do the kingdom of hell a lot of damage. If we would just stay in unity, in love, and keep our faith going, we could do a lot of damage to the kingdom of darkness. That's why Satan comes into the house of God in many forms to bring disunity and to disrupt, because he does not want us to stay in unity to tear him down. The same thing applies to your own family. If he can get into your family, he has you. Don't allow him to come into your family either. You pray. You love. You fast if you have to. Do what you have to do, but keep the love going and the wisdom going in your homes. As your faith grows, doors of opportunity will swing open, which will bring forth God's promises to his followers that through faith nothing is impossible. You know, just the other day I shared this with some of you where God spoke to me. He said, "Daughter, I'm now ready to exalt you because you went through all the hell that I allowed you to go through for all these years, and you still trusted me." And he said, "Now you're doing the greater works," whatever that is. But see, it's because he said, even though I allowed you to go through all this hell for these years, you trusted me. Do you think it was easy doing that? No, it was not. It was hard to go through the things that I went through and to still believe that God was in control. I mean, I trusted, but what I'm saying, it was hard to believe that he was still in control. Many, many times you'll find yourself facing obstacles that you wonder, "God, why? Why did you allow this to happen in my life?" But everything that you go through is a learning experience. Everything you go through should make you stronger in the Lord. And everything you go through should grow your faith. Because God knows, I'm teaching a little bit about this tonight, God knows what he has to do with you to take you where you have to go. He knows what he has to make you strong in order to do the things he's wanting you to do. In order to make you strong, you're going to have to go through some struggles in life. Are you listening here? Life is not going to be easy. If you are really earmarked to do great mighty works for the Father, life is not going to be easy. And you're going to struggle through some of the things that you have to go through. By struggle, I mean you're going to trust God. But it's going to take everything you have to keep your faith going and to trust God. But you have to keep moving. You can't sit down and you can't quit. Just keep moving. Amen. Ephesians 6, 10, 11, 16 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." See, he said, you will be able to. This is a year to keep our shields of faith raised. Let this be the year that the fiery darts of hell will be quenched in your life. Let this be the year that you win your wars that lie ahead. You're not going to, nobody in here is going to lose another battle, are you? Nope, we're going to defeat the enemy at every turn, and we're going to do it not in our strength, but we're going to allow God to fight the battle for us. We're going to go before the Father, hear his voice. We're going to do everything he tells us to do, and then put it in his hands. Say, "All right, God, there, I'll do my part. You do your part." And really, if you look at it, if you look at the whole picture, your part's nothing. Your part is really nothing. He's going to do all the fighting. But see, you have to make up your mind. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. You're going to have to make up your mind that God knew everything you was going to go through before he ever placed you in your mother's womb. And you're going to have to make up your mind that no matter how hard the battle is, you know, think about Paul, Peter. Tell me something, guys. Did they have easy lives? No, they did not. No, they did not. And so why do we think we should have easy lives? They were sold out to God totally and completely. And they didn't complain at what they went through. They did everything with joy and gladness of heart. I wish the body of Christ were the same. If we really, truly believe Jesus Christ is alive and well, then we have to believe his word. And just like God told me, he said, daughter, get into my word and see how my son, how they treated my son. Then he had me get into the word and see how his disciples truly lived. Not this make-believe fantasy thing that we imagine, but how they truly lived. And if you look at how they truly lived, they all suffered all their life. But they kept on doing the works of the Father, knowing that they were even going to die because they were his disciple. Now, do you see that in the body of Christ today? No. We don't want to suffer. We want all the conveniences of life right at our fingertips. We don't want anybody to tell us we're wrong. You know. Are you ready for the God of the next? That's a question God's putting out. Are you ready for the God of the next? In other words, are you ready for the next thing that God is ready to do in your life, no matter what it is? No matter what he's asking you to do, are you ready for the next? It's going to take complete faith. It's going to take walking by faith and not by sight. It's going to take you saying, God, I don't understand you at all, but I'm just going to go ahead and do the things you're calling me for to do. You know, I'm excited because I don't know who, you know, and I know God's going to use all you guys. And I'm excited to see whose mantle you're going to be carrying. And I'll be excited when I see your name out there. Because, you know, you struggled and struggled and struggled. And finally you said, all right, God, I surrender. You know, and you just let God go ahead and use you any way he wanted to use you. Not worrying about any lights. Not worrying about any title. Just being a disciple of the Most High God and going forth and completing the works that he set before you. There's many of you in here this morning that you've had many questions before the Father because it just doesn't seem like he's listening. And God is saying, I've heard every prayer. I've seen every tear. And I'm about ready to answer all those prayers. I'm about ready to show you the entire picture. You're going to have the whole puzzle put together because you need the whole picture in order to go forth and do the things I'm asking you to do. You walk by faith, sort of. And he said, I am honoring the faith that you walked by. And I understand why you couldn't walk in full faith because your circumstances seems just opposite of what you thought I was going to do. But I've always been there and I've always been in control. And I have brought you to the place that I want you to be. And now I'm ready to exalt you and to move you forward into the lost and the dying world that is so corrupted that it's going to take your bright light to break that darkness. God said, is telling me right now to tell you, if you're one of those who want your light to be so bright that no matter where you go, it will dispel all darkness. If you come forward, he's going to give you power that'll keep that light. I keep hearing him say, put the light bulb on. He's going to give you power that light will never grow dim ever again. Under no circumstances will your light grow dim. So if you want that anointing from God, just come forward right now. There's some of you in here, you're a little bit discouraged, a whole lot discouraged. And God is crying for you because he said, don't be discouraged. So I am in control. And I do have all things in my hands. No matter what the enemy tries to make you believe. And God's telling me, some of you in here are birthed an Ishmael, but now he wants you to birth the Isaac he has inside of you. Come on, just let God touch you in a mighty way this morning.